I will now turn it over to Governor Cuomo, sir.
Morning, guys. Andrew Cuomo. I have Melissa DeRosa, Robert Mojica, Jim Mylotras, and Gareth Rhodes on the phone with me. Happy Sunday. Today is day 155. We did 58,961 tests yesterday. That brings us to over 6 million diagnostic tests since March, which is really good news. The 531 tested positive, that's 0.9% yesterday, so that's really good news. Three New Yorkers passed away yesterday. They're in our thoughts and prayers. 556 hospitalized. That's the lowest number we've had hospitalized since we began. So that's great. The ICU numbers are down to 143. The number of intubated down slightly to 71. So all very good news. All very good news. The context is important. It's all very good news. The numbers are just about where we want them to be. But, I always add the but, we have to stay diligent. What this says is our plan is working, which means stay with the plan. When the plan is working, it doesn't mean you deviate from the plan or you throw the plan out, right? Silly metaphor. We had to lose weight. We had to get the numbers down. The diet is working. Well, then let's get off the diet. No. The diet is working, and we need to get the weight down. We need to get the numbers down. So it's working, but you have to stay on it. We also have threats that we're worried about, lack of compliance, and the situation across the country. Last night, the SLA, State Police Task Force, did 36 violations. They visited about 1,000 establishments. Since we've started, the task force has visited 13,000 establishments, which is an extraordinary amount of work. On the national threat, the outlook is not good. New York Times has a story today that says no patch of America is safe. New York is in America, last time I checked. And we see increases across the country. We see increases across the world, right? Japan is up 50% in July. Australia now has a second wave in Melbourne. Israel is fighting a second wave after they open schools. Hong Kong, Spain. So if you look at the facts, you look at the data, you look at history, you look at the other experiences, it all says the same thing. We have to be careful. We also have a possible hurricane that's moving up the coast. We're concerned about it here in New York. We're getting ready for it. We don't think we'll have hurricane force winds, but we could have significant winds and significant downfall. Right now, the models project that it will hit the New York City area, Long Island, especially South Shore of Long Island. We have to watch, and the Hudson Valley. They're talking about a possible 3 inches of rain. 3 inches of rain is a lot of rain in the Mid-Hudson, 50-mile-per-hour gusts. So we'll see where that goes, but we're preparing. Local government should be preparing. It's Monday night, Tuesday primarily. It's supposed to be off over by Wednesday morning. But people should start to take note. We'll have more information tomorrow. But it is a storm that would hit at this point the typical areas for a storm coming up the coast. But again, these models are just that. They're models and they're projections. So we're having state assets moved as we speak, generators, pumps, large-scale vehicles that can handle high water, and we put out a notice to local governments that they should be getting ready also, but homeowners who are in flood-prone areas should also start to get ready. With that, we'll take a couple of questions. We'll then get on with our Sunday. Operator?
As a reminder, to ask a question, you will need to press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. Again, that will be star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. And if you would like to withdraw your question, press the pound key. Please stand by while we compile the Q&A roster. First, we have a question from the line of Zach Fink from New York One. Your line is now open. You may ask your question.
Hi, Governor. Good morning.
Hey, Zach. How are we doing?
I'm good. Thank you. I wanted to ask, I know the city submitted their plan for schools reopening Friday evening, if I'm not mistaken. I'm curious if you had a chance to look at it, obviously being the largest and most complicated school district. Your kind of initial thoughts and whether or not they're going to be able to open in some capacity this fall. It's just not that far away now.
Jim, Melissa, do you know where they are with the plans?
Governor, something of some sort of framework was submitted by the city of New York to the Big Five school districts after 5 p.m. on Friday night. There hasn't been a chance to really dive in deeply on those plans, but to just put it in perspective, what was submitted looks like a outline, not a plan. It's about 30 pages. And just to put it in context, New York City Schools District has 866 schools and 1.1 million students. While other plans that have been submitted are much more detailed from at least first glance, the Yonkers School District, for instance, has 39 schools, 27,000 students, and it's about 80 pages long. The Albany City School District has 18 schools and 10,000 students, and that has about 60 pages, 70 pages worth of detail. So it looks much more on as an outline, but not as a plan. But I don't think the Department of Health or the State Education Department has been able to fully review it yet because it was submitted late on Friday.
Also, Zach, the plan is the state will review it, but my point on these plans is it's about the parents being comfortable. Just because the school district says we're open does not mean students are going to go. I can tell you that right now. I'm talking to parents all across the state. They're very iffy on this proposition, and it is going to depend on that school district's plan. And there's going to have to be some dialogue because the plans are going to generate questions by the parents. And that dialogue is important because if the parents don't feel comfortable, they're not going to send the children. And we'll accomplish nothing if we open the schools, but a significant number of parents decide to keep their children home. And when, you know, when you're talking about your child and your child's health, parents are not going to take this lightly. They're not taking it lightly. They shouldn't take it lightly. So that's my point about the plans. It's, yeah, the state's going to review them, but I guarantee you, you're going to have millions of parents reviewing these plans, and they're going to have significant questions. I said the other day, I talked to these parents. They are so well informed, Zach, because they've been in New York. They've heard the briefings. They've lived with this. They have sophisticated questions. My questions are also sophisticated. We have to do a better job on remote learning. And it can't just be, yes, we understand we have to do remote learning. There were many inequities in remote learning, and I'm not faulting anyone because the education department had to make, local school districts had to make a rapid transition, but we've now had several months. We have to do a better job. And testing, how do they believe they're going to do the testing? First, how many tests? Is it a representative sample? how are you going to do the tests? Well, we're going to do them. Don't worry. No, I worry. How? Because these are tests in addition to what they are doing now, right? Right now, they have to do a certain number of tests to hit our metric for the economic reopening. They can't drop from the number of tests they're doing now. These are going to have to be additional tests. And then the question is, what is the turnaround time on those tests? Then you get into what do you do when you find a positive? But before you get to what do you do when you find a positive, how many tests? What do you think is a representative sample? How are you going to do those tests that you're not now doing? Where are you going to find the capacity? And what's the turnaround time? Because these national labs are getting slower and slower. So those are my concerns. The parents, I'm telling you, it's going to be a full conversation. And it better start earlier rather than later, because these parents just will not send their children unless they're comfortable. Operator, let's take one more.
Sure. Next question comes on the line from Nick Weissman of Spectrum News. Your line is now open. You may ask your question.
Hey, Governor. Good morning. On the school reopening issue, I was curious what your thoughts were on, one, are you concerned that some local teachers' unions may reject the reopening plan over safety concerns and go on strike as a result? And as a follow-up to that, what sort of conditions would exist to close schools again if there's like a COVID spike in a school district or in a region?
What? Just repeat the second half of that question. What was the what? I'm sorry.
Oh, what conditions would there, you know, what conditions would have to trigger a school or a school district to close? And forgive me if you've gone over that. But
yeah.
What would lead to a school?
Okay. Jim, why don't you pull the number on that? On the teachers' unions, yes. Short answer is yes. Everybody has to be comfortable with this plan. If the parents aren't comfortable, they're not going to send their child, right? The parents have a veto. They can't veto the school district from opening, but they veto by saying, my child's staying home. And we get more and more reports, by the way, where parents are looking at homeschooling, parents are looking at cohorting their children together and hiring a teacher. Parents are very concerned. They're looking at what's happening in Israel and some other places, and there's cause for concern, right? We had that Georgia camp the other day that had a rash of infections. So parents are concerned. They can veto it by not sending their child. Teachers are concerned. You know, teachers are... some of them are older. They're in the more vulnerable populations. They don't have the same level of comfort that some people have with young people not getting COVID. So if the union isn't comfortable with the plan, I don't know that it would have to come down to a strike. But if the union and the teachers aren't comfortable and they're not going to show up, that's a problem. You don't have to get to a strike. No one wants to force teachers against their will to work, you know, and make it a legal fight. This is about common sense and public health, and either it's a safe plan or it's not a safe plan. So, yes, and that's why getting these plans up in detail is important, because if you don't have the detail, all it's going to do is generate more questions to be answered, and more questions is not a good thing right now. On the opening, we said very clearly, we'll look at the data in the first week of August to make a decision to go forward, because, Nick, they needed a deadline so they could get the buildings ready, get the teachers ready, et cetera. But if the numbers change between now and then, and there's a level of concern, then I said, when I first said this, there's a red emergency button that says stop on it. And if the infection rate is increasing, I'm going to hit the stop button. Or if something happens dramatic, we'll hit the stop button. We're not going to let children be endangered. Jim, do you have the numbers that we put on the table? But even the numbers we put on the table, it's if there's a cause for concern in the data that the infection is increasing.
That's right, Governor. The initial trigger for reopening more broadly in the region is under 5% positive tests in the region. And then the sort of warning sign, if they are able to proceed with reopening, if they are heading, if they're below 9%, come September, they can remain open. But anything over 9% over a 7-day average, they would have to automatically close the schools or go back to remote learning only. But that doesn't include the other requirements of a plan. So if there's a positive test in a class in our school, they have to have closure plans and then isolate those students and faculty as well.
Yeah. And Nick, that's a rule of thumb. That's the 7-day rolling average. But if you see a dramatic spike in numbers, that the data people, same way we do the economic reopening, if the data people look at it and the public health experts look at it and say something's happening here, then obviously you're talking about the safety of children, and we're going to be very cautious. Melissa, Rob, Jim, Gareth, anything else?
No, I would just appreciate what the governor just said on the 7-day rolling average. It's, if there's a one-off day because there's a spike in the number because there happens to be an outbreak, let's say, like in an apple plant in upstate New York, a small number of cases could lead to a dramatic percentage increase. But if you're able to identify it and control it, then you don't necessarily, it's not necessarily cause for alarm. But if you see that more than one day, obviously right now New York is operating at about 1% a day. So we're going to be looking at those numbers very, very closely.
Okay. All right, guys, thank you all very much. Enjoy your Sunday. All good news. Stay on the diet. It's working. Thanks. Bye.